This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Actually, it's not Dom Salvia. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in for Dom, and I have a guest co-host, Angela Lang, joining me here all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Angela Lang, of course, is the founder and executive director of BLOC, that's Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Please join our conversation by text or by phone by dialing 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we've got Representative Mark Pocan in a second. Before we get to him, we have a giveaway for you, and Jess is going to tell you all about it.
We do indeed. It's time for the grown-up gift list. That's not the adult gift list. It's the grown-up gift list on Civic Media Radio Network. Right now, in this hour, you can text in through the app. That's 855-752-4842, but really just do it through the app. It's better. The code word, stockings. Is it plural? I think it's plural. Stockings. For your chance to win, oh no, it's not plural, just stocking, S-T-O-C-K-I-N-G, stocking, for your chance to win $100 cash. So throughout the hour, you may do this. If you do not get a bounce back text, that means that you spelled something wrong, so make sure that you spell it right. Stocking will remind you throughout the hour.
Like hang your stocking under the mantle for Christmas.
Not all something right. I'm familiar with, so...
Me neither, though we do both Hanukkah and Christmas at the Rothschild House. So anyway, here we go. Let's get right to Representative Mark Pocan. Thanks for joining the show, Representative. It's great to see you and great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
I need to get your reaction, of course, to the fatal shooting at Abundant Life in Madison on Monday. What was your first reaction? What's your reaction now?
You know, more of a stunning disbelief, you know, that here we are 2024, and I would argue the greatest nation on the planet. And yet we're the nation that has the highest amount of school shootings and mass shootings by far of any other country. And now this is the second this year, by the way, in my district. Don't forget, we had the Mount Horeb incident with the young, the juvenile with a pellet gun and got shot by the police. You know, we got to admit we got a problem, right? And we don't. And I think that's the first and foremost thing that we just have to look at. I go to the floor and you do a moment of silence and there's no moment of action. We offer thoughts and prayers, which may provide some relief for the family and the community, but thoughts and prayers never lead to anything. Therefore, they don't have the value. It's become this thing we say in Washington that means, by the way, we're not going to address gun violence. And I just think, you know, we have to have a much bigger conversation about the need to understand that being number one in this category is not a good thing.
What is the action that you want to see?
Understanding that we are uniquely on the planet, the country that has the most shootings, and that we've got to figure out what's wrong. Is it the type of guns? Is it too many guns? There's more guns than people here. Is it mental health issues? Is it a combination? Is it that the gun manufacturers run the NRA? NRA is not the people who belong to it, who want to, you know, have the family tradition of hunting and their rifle. No one's after that rifle. But the NRA's funding comes from the gun manufacturers who are just trying to make a boatloads of money, and they don't care what happens with the product they have. And I think, you know, we just have to have a real conversation, because in lieu of a real conversation means nothing, which means out of the 480 mass shootings this year alone, you're going to have more. And more and more, and it will come back again to Wisconsin, and it'll be everywhere else in the country, and that's just unacceptable.
I mean, yeah, it is. Go ahead, Angela.
I was just gonna say, you know, I appreciate you saying that, like, we just have to figure out what the problem is, right? And a lot of folks want to make this an opportunity, I think, for more than what it is. And, you know, on the things that you listed, what I didn't hear is, you know, more school resource officers or more police in schools or more metal detectors. And I think folks are seeing that as an opportunity, But, you know, as people have said, you know, why are we talking about even having a need for those things in the first place? So can you kind of talk about this kind of knee-jerk reaction of saying, this is why we need more police in schools, and maybe that's not the answer?
And that was the first answer from law enforcement I was so proud of back when I heard. They said, well, shouldn't we fortify these schools more? They're like, no, we shouldn't need to. Like, we're not addressing the problem. You could fortify every school and every hospital and every playground and every public building and every mall. But that's not addressing the problem, which is we have an addiction to guns. We have an epidemic of gun violence. And if we have an epidemic like COVID, we all did something about it. Here we have an epidemic that we are just ignoring. And, you know, in this case, it's really tough because the shooter was a 15-year-old girl and they're looking for a reason and a manifesto. It's a 15-year-old girl. You may not get that. And I think that's a real issue.
I see we have Tom from LA on the phone.
Hey, Mark. Can you hear me?
Yes. How you doing?
Hey, good, Mark. I wanted to compliment you. You're on Tom Hartman's show. Hopefully, maybe some of my pushing is doing something. But you called yourself like two or three times today the party of FDR. We need everyone in Congress to be saying that they are FDR Democrats. We need to teach them, if they don't know the history of who he was in the New Deal, then we need to teach it. But I just wanted to compliment you because I usually give you guff on blue sky and stuff like that, asking you if you're a FDR Democrat. But today it really made me happy that you actually said that, and you know, that you're moving in that direction. One problem I had with Bernie, as he called him, he let them buy into the thing about him being a socialist, and he never did take the FDR mantle.
I agree, Tom. You know, if there's a lesson coming out of November, one lesson I think we've all accepted is that most of the undecided voters, or almost at least half of them, don't get their information from traditional TV media. And we need to be different than how the consultants want us to spend money. They make money when they place it there. But, you know, we're starting a podcast in January, for example, because we're going to start having longer conversations about some of the issues that I talk about. And we want to put more information out there. But the other thing that I'm not sure everyone's accepted yet, and that's why we're talking about it, is, you know, we have to go back to those core economic issues. We lost people making $30,000 to $100,000 in the election, which we've never done in the last four or five cycles, this election cycle. And it's because Donald Trump lied, but we're used to that. But for many, he said he would do whatever, and they're paying too much, just like globally, you know, in 12 countries, I think, or 14 countries, whoever was in charge lost power in the last year because coming out of COVID, we've had global inflation. But we should talk about, and we didn't enough, raising the minimum wage and childcare, because that's what people need to be able to have jobs and to work, and healthcare for their families. Because if you don't have that, what do you have? Look what just happened with the shooting. Look at the outpouring of people who are upset with how healthcare is delivered, or better yet, not delivered, and the frustration we're seeing. Those are all core economic, I would argue, FDR type issues. And when our party proves that once again, we are the party for the average person, the average working person, then we're going to have earned our place back. But right now, that really hurt us, I think. And we just need to really reinforce who we are.
I think part of the problem, Representative Pocan, was that Democrats didn't demonstrate what deliverables they've already given people and what deliverables they'll promise and can follow through with. You know, a lot of people don't understand, you know, how they've benefited from, other than the Affordable Care Act, from a Democrat being president. Part of it is the minimum wage hasn't gone up. Part of it is, you know, people are struggling so hard on rent issues. I know Kamala Harris tried to address that dealing with the housing shortage, but, you know, when people can't pay their rent, or rent is 30%, 40%, 50% of what they're bringing in, you know, this is, and grocery bills are going up. They're just getting squeezed. I saw a cartoon from the old Wobbly Industrial Workers of the World from 100 years ago that had workers in a vise. On top was low wages, and on bottom was high rent, and people were just getting squeezed, and they're still getting squeezed. And I don't think Kamala Harris, though I hate to criticize her because I think she ran a really hard race and gave it her all.
Time, right? She wasn't building it from the very beginning like you normally would. So I agree. I mean, I try not to have a a hard and fast opinion on it, but I do have a hard and fast opinion that unless we're the party that fights for the average person, there's always going to be these wedge issues that Republicans are so good at. Now look at this administration, a record number of billionaires are going to be telling us, I mean, talk about an oligarchy, right?
Yeah.
This is in action. It's going to be real life. And, you know, part of what we got to do is also make sure we're defending everyone that he's going to attack. You know, we know Donald Trump has a tendency to not do what he says, and 95% of what he says, he doesn't deliver on. But the 5%, we got to make sure we're watching out for each other. And that does mean for each other. So maybe you're not transgender, but if he's attacking the transgender community, don't forget next, it might be, you know, people who are immigrants. And next, it might be low-income seniors, and they want to go after Social Security. And eventually, you've got no one there for you if you're not backing every single person that he's attacking. So this is our real chance for some real solidarity.
Yeah, we need that solidarity. And I know Angela Lang's been talking about that, wrapping our arms around trans folks and immigrants in our communities and how important that is. I mean, I'm worried about how bad it is going to get under Trump, both here in Wisconsin and nationwide. And I'm frustrated by columnists in the New York Times who are saying, well, this too shall pass. Well, it might pass eventually, but there are a whole bunch of people who might get hurt. I mean, what should Wisconsinites expect to deal with here?
Well, and that's the thing. We just have to be ready for whatever. So on Inauguration Day, I'm not going to go to the inauguration. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I'm going to try to live in the spirit of Martin Luther King Jr., which means we're going to do some service. We're going to deliver some Meals on Wheels at lunch, because honestly, that's one of the populations that's going to be affected. And we're going to meet with postal workers, because now they're talking about privatizing the postal service. We're going to meet with people who are in that immigrant community that he might be trying to kick out of the country. We're going to meet with folks in the LGBTQI community who are being attacked and could see lots of attacks in this administration. And we really want to make sure that people know we really are listening, and that we really are going to help organize folks. But we all got to fight like hell, and we all got to have each other's backs. And that, I think, is the part I really want to stress, because an injury to any of us is an injury to all of us. And we've got to make sure we live that credo.
Absolutely. That's Representative Mark Pocan. Can you hang around in the next segment, or do you have to fly?
I can go for another segment, because the Republicans are so inept, we don't know when our next vote is.
Terrific. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back with Representative Mark Pocan.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you on the Dom Salvia Show. Dom's off today, so I'm here guest hosting along with Angela Lang. Angela Lang's the founder and executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, and we're talking with Mark Pocan. We'll be back to Mark in 1 second. You're free to join the conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. But first, we have a giveaway for you, and Jess is going to do the duty.
We do indeed have a giveaway. If you've been listening, I did misspeak a little bit at the beginning. The giveaway is stocking singular. So that's STOCKING for our grown-up gift list all across Civic Media. This is a statewide contest. We're giving away things four times a day, either $100 in cash or an overnight stay at Chula Vista. This hour, it's a $100 cash giveaway. Again, that word is stocking. Go ahead and text that in through the Civic Media app. You have until the end of the hour. Back to you, Matt.
Thanks, Jess. We're here with Representative Pocan. You were just saying before the break that Republicans can't get their act together. Imagine that. One of the reasons they can't get their act together is that Elon Musk is throwing his weight around like he is in charge of everything. I saw that today he was threatening any Republican lawmaker who doesn't go along with the reconciliation bill to keep the government open. Otherwise, you know, there's a shutdown on Friday. What do you make of this role, that outsized role that Elon Musk is playing in this upcoming administration?
Well, clearly he thinks he bought the presidency. He's going to own it. So, you know, he literally, before Donald Trump, by a number of hours, decided to kill the bipartisan compromise continuing resolution to keep government open. And the problem is Elon Musk knows about as much about how the federal government works as, you know, I know about the best hair products, you know, right? It's just, it's not something that's what we know Elon Musk for. He suggested that we wait till January 20th when the president comes in. If you shut government down for a month and everyone's trying to go home for the holidays, think about all the federal things that would be not happening during this time. I mean, it's beyond idiotic, but it's Elon Musk. He's rich. He doesn't have to be right. He's rich, and he just bought himself a president, and now Donald Trump's got to recognize he's got a daddy. And once he does, it's going to be an epic fight someday they're going to have. But for now, Trump is just going to carry the water for this guy.
Yeah, Elon Musk is Scrooge this Christmas, that's for sure. We've got Joe from Madison on the phone. Let's take Joe's call. She's one of our most informed callers.
Oh, I hope so, although this may seem a little bit off base, but I hope that you'll consider this. Representative Pocan, thanks so much for being on the show, and hope you can make it again and again. One of the things I so appreciate about you as a representative is your energy and your humor. You just keep going, which is so helpful. And I would have a thought on, I think the idea of having a podcast is absolutely great. I would really encourage you to have a lot of music and a lot of people coming in on that, with stars and people that you can get to add to that, not just facts, but also music and energy to that. And it makes me wonder, I'm going to throw something at you, and consider this. Part of the reason I think that people are glued to Trump is because you just don't know what this nutball is going to do next. He's entertaining in that way, in that he's unexpected, and you just can't believe it. Even if it's horrifying, you just can't believe it. I would propose to you, there was a public television station. It was the Twin Cities public television station. And as part of getting ready for a mayoral race they had I think it was St. Paul, they had a game show. They had a quiz show. And the idea of it was, what do you need to know to be mayor? And so they had these questions prepared. And it was a game show with a funny little theme and balloons and great set and all that. This may sound kind of odd, but one of the questions I would ask is, how much is this going to cost? If they privatize the post office, how much is it going to cost? There's a question for you. If they privatize the Veterans Health Service, what's it going to cost the average veteran? And I think there might be, it may sound goofy or weird, but honestly, I would tune into a game show that gave me that information in a cheery, upbeat way, you know, that wasn't dour, but instead sort of said, can you guess this? With the idea that it's unexpected. One of the reasons I think people like sporting games so much is because you don't know how it's going to end. Even you just don't know who's going to win and what plays are going to happen. And thus, I think that's part of the interest in game shows and things that are just done live or live on tape. So anyway, I know this sounds a little odd, but I'm just sort of thinking that it doesn't do enough to just simply tell the facts or tell the story. We gotta do more. And so I would throw this kind of wacky off the wall idea at you to see if there might be some ways to play off of that. So that's my two cents for today, and thanks for all you do, sir.
I love that.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. You know, so when I look at what it takes to run a radio station, I don't have that. So don't look for great production value, right? I don't know if I'm going to have the sound effects and the music and all that. But what we are going to do is try to do a deep dive on some subjects like Medicare Advantage, like privatizing the Postal Service. We want to get people like Robert Reich. We've already reached out to him to be on the program. Mark Ruffalo, who grew up in Kenosha, where I grew up. I mean, so there's a lot of people out there we want to bring in, but have a longer conversation, plus maybe a few fun questions too. Like, You know, I would love to know, you know, if we had an at-large member of Congress, who each person might want to put on and why. You know, because sometimes it's a sharing other places for people to get information, because that is how we get information now, through non-traditional ways. So I'm going to do my best. It probably won't be quite as exciting maybe as Donald Trump is, but we're going to get the information out. And I appreciate your comments, Joe.
And I would say too, at Block, we've done like Civics Jeopardy online, and like during lockdown, there was like this online template and it was all civics questions. And we had, you know, Senator Tammy Baldwin on, and we did it on Zoom and Facebook Live. And so I think there's a way to get education out that is super fun, but also right now, when we're living in this age of mis and disinformation, how do we make sure we're breaking through that noise of the ads and the mailers and stuff? So I look forward to hearing your podcast.
Thank you. Mid-January, I think, is what we're shooting for right now. But I'm looking forward to it too, because there's too many subjects. Like on your show, I would love to talk about Medicare Advantage. We get so many calls from people who get screwed over by insurance companies. You know, private insurance, that's what Medicare Advantage is. It's not Medicare only. Medicare is Medicare. You have to get prior authorization. They turn down millions of people a year.
Yeah, we got to have that conversation another time, because we're out of time. But thanks so much for being the guest today. No worries.
We'll have you back on.
The Dom Salvia Show. Yeah, definitely have you back on.
Thanks.
Have a nice holiday.
Appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Thanks. You too.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Matt Rothschild here on the Dom Salvia Show. Dom's off today. I'm co-hosting today with Angela Lang of Block. And we've got a guest who is an old friend of mine, Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer and a progressive from Lincoln County, who we're going to bring on in just a second. But I want to invite you to join the conversation at 855-752-4842. You can call or text. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we've got an offer for you that Jess is going to deliver right now.
We sure do. Our grown-up gift list. There are 2 days remaining in that, and the rest of this hour. You have 25 minutes left to get out your phone, open the Civic Media app, and text in our keyword for the hour, stocking, S-T-O-C-K-I-N-G. I hear that people hang them up by the fireplace and do stuff with it, but it's not for your feet. Anyways, you can stuff your stocking with $100 in cash if you text in that keyword, stocking, S-T-O-C-K-I-N-G, in the next 25 minutes. Back to you, Matt.
Thanks, Jess. Hans Breitenmoser. Welcome to the show, Hans.
Hey, Matt. How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there. You know, it was rough coming off the election, but I'm getting my sea legs back again and getting my voice back again because... you know, we got to fight this, of course, and you're a fighter, longtime fighter. You know, for the listener out there, Hans and I worked together pretty hard for a couple years there in this battle to get fair maps in Wisconsin. I drive up to Merrill, and we do some sessions with the League of Women Voters and other folks in the community to try to raise awareness about the issue of fair maps. And you were on the Lincoln County Board there at the time, and you were able to get a measure through the Lincoln County Board, and it's not a blue board by any stretch. You were able to get it through that board wanted fair maps, and then you were a leader in the effort to get the whole Wisconsin Counties Association on board for fair maps. That was part of the effort at the county level and at the grassroots level that led to this victory for fair maps. And And Hans, I just wanted to ask you what lesson you draw from all this, because you know, I'm a skeptical person, and for a while there, I thought we weren't going to see fairer maps until 2030, maybe. And yeah. yet it happened. So what is the lesson of that, do you think?
Boy, I don't know. That's a long history lesson, I suppose. I mean, you know, I was on the Lincoln County Board for 10 years. I lost my election a couple of years ago now. But back in 2017, you know, I just kind of concluded that some of the issues that we deal with at local government has to do with the fact that our state representatives aren't listening to us. And I couldn't quite wrap my head around that until I understood how gerrymandered we were. And so we thought, well, you know, let's use this little tiny platform to write a resolution. Obviously, these resolutions are kind of rhetorical in terms of they don't have any teeth, but we thought at our county level, it made sense to write a resolution to insist that the state has a nonpartisan procedure for drawing these legislative and congressional district lines. And what was, I think the thing that was interesting about that was we did it in Lincoln County, Wisconsin. And so it came out of someplace where people didn't expect it to come out of, and that helped inspire other counties to do the same thing. And you know, as a result of that little spark, and certainly so many people jumping on, and obviously all the hard work that you've done through the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and all the others, we did get to a lot of traction with that. And so, yeah, it took some time, but we ultimately did move the needle a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah, everyone using their own little platforms. I love that expression you had there. That's what we got to do. And
yeah,
it sometimes it works out in surprising ways, and we get that reform sooner than we thought we would. Sometimes we don't get it until later on, but
yeah,
we're not going to get it if we don't use our little platforms. That's for sure.
Well, absolutely. And of course, so the main thing that we need to pound home now is that we can't just sit still, because while we've moved the needle, we haven't really accomplished anything concrete. I mean, this can get taken away from us so quickly. So we just need to keep pushing as hard as we can to finally get this enshrined in the Constitution so we quit screwing around.
So you're pushing a constitutional amendment to ban gerrymandering once and for all, correct?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't see any other way to get it to stick, right? Because, I mean, these things move like a pendulum back and forth, and with the whims of politicians and so forth. And so if we sit here and say, well, hey, we got fairer maps now, then I think a lot of people that were fighting for that maybe get the impression that, oh, well, there, we did it and we can walk away. No, we didn't do it. This gives us a toehold that we can move the needle all the way to where it needs to be, and then nail that needle down. And the only way that's going to happen is if we get enough legislators down in Madison who take this seriously, who are done with this nonsense, that they will get a constitutional amendment or something along those lines, so we can get a truly nonpartisan procedure done. And you know, we haven't even talked about the congressional district lines. I mean, that's obviously a big one as well.
A lot of work to be done there. The other issue that I've been hearing you advocate on lately, Hans, is this issue of immigrant rights and the concern that you have with Trump and his mass deportation rhetoric, what that's going to do to the dairy industry where you are, and more importantly, to the human beings who work there. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the reality of Wisconsin and reality of the United States is that, you know, agriculture, construction, hospitality, meatpacking, none of these things work without immigrant labor. It's just a simple fact. And so the idea that so many of these folks have been demonized and used by, you know, politicians like Donald Trump and Tom Tiffany in my congressional district, and this nonsense about, you know, rapists and murderers and so forth and so on, you know, it irritates me. I was going to use a different term, but this is a broad audience here, so we'll try and behave. But you know, when you work alongside people that have not been handed a great situation, that have left their homelands because of cartels and because of lack of opportunity and because of all these things, legitimate reasons to move on to the United States and find a better life, you work alongside these people and start to understand the amount of grace and so forth that they have, when they would have every right to be, you know, ornery as heck. And then those same people are demonized. Well, I just can't let that stand without saying something about it.
And I think, you know, what I'm hearing is a lot of like class consciousness too, right? Is that like working class, including dairy farmers, need to come together. And I think in a state like Wisconsin, there's always forces that are pitting kind of this urban and rural divide and, you know, oh, those are dairy farmers or oh, those are immigrants. That's not me. Why should I care? How do you kind of talk about the statewide impact of why everyone should care? One, it's the morally right thing to do to care about your fellow human. But even outside of that, if for whatever reason people aren't moved, you know, why should all Wisconsinites actually care, even from like an economic perspective?
Because all Wisconsinites eat, Angela.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's I don't know what else you want. Just you know, you don't need a PhD in economics to connect these dots. This is not yep. This is not rocket science here, folks. If you eat, if you have eaten today, if you plan on eating tomorrow, then thank an immigrant, because I'm here to tell you the dairy industry stops in a big, fat, ugly way right now if you wave your magic MAGA wand and chase all the immigrants, quote, home. Then the dairy industry ceases to exist. And guess what else does? The packing industry. How am I going to sell my cows? If my employees have to leave, I'm going to sell my cows. I'm here to tell you, I'm done. I'm going to hang it up. Where am I going to sell my cows if the packing plants can't slaughter them? Explain to me how this works. I'm listening.
It's Hans, as simple as that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if some of your employees are petrified right now.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, and I've asked, you know, I've been asked that question, and I've, you know, had these conversations, but what my answer to that question is this, Matt. Again, speaking broadly, you're dealing with a cohort of people who have been faced in their home countries with poverty and crime, have had to leave and be apart from their families. They've had some stuff to deal with. This is, speaking broadly, a pretty resilient bunch of folks. They're not real likely to start whining and complaining. They look at this situation and say, okay, well, we're going to come to work tomorrow and we're going to do the best we can. And we're going to see what happens.
Do you think Trump is blustering like some people are suggesting in the papers, or is he going to follow through with this mass deportation, or is he going to have some displays of what I think are displays of sadism? To put it sharply, how do you see this playing out?
I mean, I think part of the angst is that, you know, this is a fellow that's proven himself to be pretty erratic and a little tough to figure out. You know, this is a guy that has no grand philosophical bent, right? It's just a matter of, well, what do I feel like today? And who's gonna brown nose me today? That's the direction that it's gonna go. It's like stick your finger in the air and see which way the wind's blowing. So I don't know. I wish I had a good answer for you. My hope is that the bluster is just that, and you know they make examples of some actual criminals and deport those folks, and then maybe we can calm down. But what they should be thinking about, I don't care if Republicans or Democrats, what they should be working on is some actual reform so we can get back to an immigration policy that works for this country and the people who come here.
What would that reform look like?
Oh, I think there's plenty of ways to move that needle. You know, my parents came here from Switzerland in 1968. You know, it wasn't a big deal. You know, I mean, I'm not even suggesting that this has to be a path to citizenship, although I would be completely in favor of that. But the bottom line is we don't have a birth rate that keeps up with the demand for you know, people to fill this economy and work in this economy. So why wouldn't we have an immigration reform that encourages or at least doesn't discourage people from coming to this country? We should be welcoming these people just like generations before us have, because it strengthens our communities. It strengthens us culturally and it strengthens us economically. This is not that hard to figure out, but if xenophobia and stupidity get in the way, then here we sit.
We've got Keith from Broadhead on the phone. Let's listen to Keith. Keith, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, guys. I'm going to say something perhaps a little bit cynical here, and I apologize if it may be beyond. The difference between the previous generations of immigrants in this country, going back to Italians and Irish and all the way back, is that they generally look like us. They're European. Before that, of course, it was the African Americans. They were not immigrants. They were slaves. They didn't look like us. So I'm going to be a little cynical and say that I think that's a good part of it, unfortunately. And then I wanted to ask the gentleman, you're in Lincoln County area. Those dairy farmers have to know that what you're saying is true. In their souls, they have to know that without the immigrants, they have no workforce. How is it that they still voted for Trump? I don't get it. I just don't understand this.
Good question from Keith from Broadhead. Thanks for the call, Keith. Hans, when you meet neighbors who are dairy farmers who had big Trump signs out in their fields, how do you make sense of that?
I'm going to share a little exchange that I had with a fellow that I know. He's our hoof trimmer that comes to our farm once a month, and he works in the dairy industry every day. Good guy, solid guy, volunteer firefighter, just salt of the earth guy. And I was complaining to him about this, because I know he votes Republican. And he said that I made a joke. I said, well, pretty soon you and I are going to be out of work, too, if they chase everybody, quote, back home. And he said, well, I wouldn't worry about that. They're only going to send back the illegals. I said, dude, do you understand that the people you work with shoulder to shoulder, a lot of them, their documentation is dubious at best?
He didn't
get that.
I'm going to cut you off right there and hope that you can hang on and give us, the rest of that conversation you had with them. You're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Han Breitenmoser, dairy farmer, Lincoln County. We'll be right back on the Dom Salvia Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Dom Salvia Show. Dom's off today, and I'm here with my co-guest host, Angela Lang of Block, and we're talking with Hans Breitenmoser of Lincoln County. Is a dairy farmer, former member of the Lincoln County Board, and was a champion of fair maps forever to his credit. You can join the conversation here, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC on the Civic Media Radio Network. And we've got something for you, the listener, that Jess is going to tell you all about.
Last call for today's text to win contests. If you're interested in $100 cash, I know I am, but I'm not allowed to enter into this. But you can, through the Civic Media app, simply pull up the app, choose the station that you're listening to right now, and text in the word stocking, STOCKING, for your chance to win $100 on our grown-up gift list. This is a statewide contest, so wherever you are in the state of Wisconsin, go ahead and text that in. Tomorrow, we will have another day of gifts, and then only one more day remaining, so you have 7 minutes left today. Get out your phone, text it in, win a prize. Back to you, Matt.
Thanks, Jess. Love the vocals. Hans, we had that great call from Keith from Broadhead wondering about your fellow dairy farmers, and you were talking about the guy who deals with your cow's hoofs, and he didn't think it was going to affect him. Was that what the short of it was?
Yeah. Well, and before I forget, to lead in with Hendrix and then give away $100, you guys have the coolest radio show on the radio right now.
Right? Great song choice.
I'm sharing this story because it was a little bit of an epiphany for me, right? This fellow works in the industry. He votes Republican, and maybe some light got in there. Good guy, smart guy, decent human being, but he's been so led to believe that the quote illegal immigrants are all these scary images that he's been seeing on television, and whether it's Fox quote News or whether it's advertisements for, you know, Tom Tiffany or so forth and so on. So the notion that some of the folks that he works with all the time aren't here legally, honest to God, never occurred to him. And the reason is because they're good people. They show up for work. They do a great job. They're friendly. They're hardworking. They can't possibly be here without proper documentation. So he had an epiphany that day, and so did I, because I was sitting here asking the same question you guys after the election. How can all these people be such xenophobic, racist blockheads? This is impossible. I know these people. They're not terrible people, but they're misinformed people. They're misguided people, and that doesn't make them evil, but that makes our job all the more difficult slash important to really get the message out, to make sure that people understand that some things aren't as they seem, and immigration policy just needs to be changed by people who are in positions of power to do so.
I mean, how do we get that message out? I mean, that is the question. And sure, civic media, we're trying to do all we can here, but a lot of it is person to person. I think about the great nonviolent revolution in this country over the last 50 years, which was the gay rights movement. You know, that occurred because people went person to person, family member to family member, and got it done. Maybe we do need to, you know, maybe not talk religion at the dinner table, but talk politics at the dinner table, because we got to bring people around. Do you have any hints there, Hans, as to how to move the needle on this?
I don't know, Matt. I'm a simple dairy farmer. I'm not a sociologist or anything like that. I don't know. I think it's just having these conversations as often as we can and being honest with one another and starting to shed light, where we can and when we can. I don't have any grand scheme. It's just conversations, I think.
Go ahead, Angela. I just was going to say, I don't buy the simple dairy farmer shtick, but go ahead, Angela.
That's what I was going to say, because I feel like, you know, we clearly have gotten to this moment because, and it's been brought up before, the campaign consultants and, you know, the folks that never step foot in our communities, whether it's in the north side of Milwaukee, in the Northwoods, or on the dairy farm, but they somehow know what the messages are, right? And I think it's so easy for folks to kind of dehumanize folks these days if they are so not used to being in community or in relationship with each other. So I think what I'm hearing and speaking to is just like being able to have these conversations, because once we are able to see each other as people and not as villains as the news or the media may portray us out to be, we're actually more united than we are divided, but we don't get that chance and that opportunity without conversations.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the other thing, Angela, is that scapegoating obviously works, right? And so our foreign-born friends are scapegoats at this point. When that gets us, that allows us to be willful ignorant sometimes, and I guess we're legitimately ignorant about some of the bigger things that is plaguing rural economies, because, I mean, we're talking from the rural perspective here. And those things get more complicated. Antitrust legislation is complicated. There are bigger picture things that's pushing these economies down, and we're looking in the rural areas for easy answers. And then so we see some brown people in what's normally a white neighborhood, and we say, aha, that's what's changed. Those guys showed up.
An old trick, Hans, isn't it? Scapegoating. Yeah. Yep. Unfortunately, Hans Braden Moser from Lincoln County, dairy farmer, former member of the Lincoln County Board. Thanks so much for being our guest. Great hearing from you, Hans.
Thank you very much, Matt. Good to see you again. Nice to meet you, Angela. You guys have happy holidays, okay?
You too. Happy holidays.
And we'll be right back on the Dom Salvia Show.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.